You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's look at the book of Colossians. This book of Colossians, an important book, one of Paul's epistles. In all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. God inspired Paul. Paul wrote these things down at the inspiration of God. And Paul was the choice to replace Judas. Paul was the choice of God. Matthias was the choice of an act of very blatant disobedience. That's not to say Matthias wasn't a good man, but the choice of Matthias was done in direct disobedience. They were to go and wait until they were endued with power from on high, so that what they did do, they could do right. I'm astonished. One of the things that really astonishes me in this time is the number of people nowadays that are running around wanting to challenge Paul's apostleship and say that somehow Paul's writings are not as important as the Torah, or that Paul wasn't an apostle. Well, how many times do we see in the scripture, in the Word of God, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God? Well, these people don't know the will of God. This is scripture as much as anything Moses said. And Moses and Paul didn't say anything of any difference. The word is nigh thee, even in thy heart. This is the word of faith that we preach. The parallels between Paul and Moses are astonishing if you ever study them. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. These people that would question Paul's authority as an apostle, they obviously do not know the will of God. They're seeking to gather disciples after themselves. But I'm glad you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. We all have the same teacher. If we've been born again, our teacher is the Holy Spirit. And this is the problem. People do not read the Word. They do not follow the Spirit of truth and holiness. You beware if you ever come across someone who would attack Paul's authority as an apostle, or say that the scriptures that God used Paul to bring forth for us were any less authoritative than any other word of God. You beware, you've got you a heretic, and more often than not, it's a damnable heretic variety. And the duty of love is simply to admonish them as an heretic, and if the response is anything other than meekness, give them the second admonition and reject them. That's love to them. That's the duty of love to them. And it's also the duty of love to those that they would get to follow after them right straight to hell. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, that is the will of God, that we know what God said and that we're determined to act upon it. It's the only thing that truly honors God as God. And nobody can get any of the commandments right without getting the first one right. God is God. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. What a privilege we have to pray for people that we know are saints, people who we know have that faith of Abraham, and there's only one faith. Abraham had it, and those throughout history who have been determined to honor God as God by their determination to do what God said just because God said so. Do you think Abraham could understand possibly why he was to take his son, his only son Isaac, whom he loved, and offer him as a burnt offering? No, he couldn't understand that. But what he did understand is he knew the promises of God relating to Isaac. He certainly believed in the resurrection. And Abraham knew his part. His part was to do what God said just because God said so. There was no way he could have understood it. And we don't have to understand it. But when God said, bless those who bless Israel, and that he's going to curse those who curse Israel, whether you understand it or not, if you don't want to be cursed, you'll stand with Israel. You'll identify with Israel. Yes. Some of those natural branches were broken off that we might be grafted in, but God is certainly able to graft in those natural branches again. And we don't boast against the root. We all partake of the richness and fullness of fatness of that root, which is called Israel. We identify with Israel when we're born again because that's the basic root meaning of the word born again. And what a privilege when you know saints. We can pray for one another. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. Very definite article. The gospel, the good news of God manifesting himself to this world as the God of Israel, that he would send his only begotten Son to be the propitiation, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's a wonderful prayer. That you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. This is so important in this time. In this time of such tremendous confusion, we could very easily get involved in something that we think is right and in and of itself is right and good, but it ends up going against the revealed burden and will of God. Things change in a time of war. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, that they had received the gospel in truth, and made a response of faith, which is belief plus the Holy Ghost. That's a good definition of faith. See, the devils believe better than we do, but they can never have faith because they cannot have the Holy Ghost. For this cause, since the day we heard of it, that they had this real faith. For this cause, since the day that we heard it, how they had received the gospel, been born again, and have faith, which is belief plus the Holy Ghost. For this cause, we do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And that's what we need now. We need wisdom and spiritual understanding that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Hallelujah. giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now listen, this is a wonderful thing to give to any of the various strange bloodless cultists that you may come across. In whom, we're either in Christ or we're going to get what we deserve. All the religions of men want to have some other way other than the only way God provided. We give thanks to the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood. There are not many ways to God. We either come this way that God has provided, or we're not going to make it. We're just simply going to get deceived. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him, the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, for by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. That's a done deal. He hath reconciled. We can come to God now and call him our Father because of the reconciliation, the propitiation, the blood of God, the price of redemption that was already paid. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable. Hallelujah. He did that. Present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. And here's one of the biggest ifs in the Bible right here. We see why this word if needs to be like a stop sign. Well, those are wonderful things. But if, it's a little word meaning there's a condition. He did his part. We will be without excuse. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And there is no other hope of glory. The mystery of the ages. And this is what we need to be pressing into now. The mystery of the ages. The mystery of iniquity is no mystery anymore. That cup of iniquity is overflowing. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which he worketh in me mightily. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's amazing how people seek after wisdom and knowledge in any place and every place except where they should. How can anyone think themselves to be educated and not know what God said? The history contained in the KJV Holy Bible is perfect. The science contained in the KJV Holy Bible is perfect. Not just the religion, not just the theology, not just the doctrine, but also the history and the science is perfect. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. His name is called the Word of God. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein, with thanksgiving. Bottom line, thanksgiving. You see, either we're in Christ, or we're going to get what we deserve. And there is not anyone born since Adam that does not deserve hell. Hell is very real. It's as real as heaven, and it'll last just as long. But if we're in Christ, we get forgiveness, even are found by God to be unreprovable, holy and unreprovable in Christ. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. There's only one faith. That is faith. As you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. A lot of that going around, have you noticed? Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That Godhead word is very important. Elohim, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, God's plural. In the beginning, Elohim created the heavens and the Lord's earth. And right in the middle, word number four of those seven words in the first verse of the Bible. In Hebrew, you see it. Aleph Tav, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. The Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. So you beware. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men and after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That word Godhead is another word for the Trinity. There is no doctrine more biblical than the biblical doctrine of the Trinity, and it is the only doctrine which will stand against all of the Antichrist deceits of these last days. You beware and mark those who do not hold and profess the biblical doctrine of the Godhead. There's over 300 verses just in John's Gospel that speak of God with more than one person in it. There are over 3,000 witnesses in the Old Testament where God uses a plural noun with a singular verb. There's no doctrine in the Bible more biblical than the biblical doctrine of the Trinity. And you beware if anyone denies the doctrine of the Godhead. They don't know God. They're dangerous. For in him, in Messiah, in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Aleph Tav, in the Alpha and Omega, in the I Am who gave the Torah to Moses, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him. Otherwise, you're not going to be complete. Otherwise, you're going to get what you deserve. You don't want that. And ye are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sins, the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespass. I don't know about you, but I like that. I need that. Glory to God. Having forgiven you all trespasses. Yes. He didn't give you a license to keep on trespassing now. Having forgiven you all trespasses. Hallelujah. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against you. All this religious hokum that the rabbis had put into the oral law. All this garbage that the rabbis put into the oral law and traditions, all this stuff that religious charlatans added to what God said, that was all taken away. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. I'm glad of that. I'm not going back there. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go back there. And you, being dead in your sins, and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Yes, God said so. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. That's what got nailed to the cross. All that religious tradition and additions of the rabbis and the oral law, that got nailed to the cross. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. This is what's so sad today. You see people that come to the truth of the knowledge of Jeremiah 16:19, that our fathers have inherited lies, things of vanity, things wherein there is no profit. They start studying Torah. And these hokey rabbis that don't even know God, they start following after them, and they just trade in one set of religious tinker toys for another set, and they never come to the knowledge of Christ. They never come to understand what the true circumcision is. They don't know about the propitiation. They don't understand the mystery of God, the mystery of the ages. Either we're in Christ or we're going to get what we deserve. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that were against us. They're reading the Talmud. Some of them are even studying, God forbid, the Kabbalah. You pick up that Kabbalah, you're cursed, your children are cursed, your grandchildren are cursed, and your great-grandchildren are cursed. God hates that. It's a cult. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. All this rabbinic garbage got nailed to the cross of Christ. That's what got nailed. The royal law of love, life, and liberty, that didn't get nailed to the cross. The law of sin and death, that didn't get nailed to the cross. We see the only possible victory over that law, which is 100% effective. The law of Moses did not get nailed to the cross. Just certain sections. We got something better in the priesthood of Messiah. The Melchizedek priesthood. We got something better. But what got nailed to the cross was that rabbinic oral law, the tradition, the religious traditions of men. And it's not just the rabbis. The Pope's got a bunch of it too. And every religion has got a bunch of garbage, all of which got nailed to the cross. That was blotted out. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances. These religious laws formulated by men who did not really know God. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. And took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Now, if it was nailed to the cross, who would, in their right mind, waste their time studying it when they could study what we know God has said by his inspiration and by his preservation? Purified it seven times. Why would anyone want to spend time studying anything other than this perfect Word of God? Perfectly inspired, perfectly preserved, and perfectly purified seven times by the Holy Ghost. But it's not religious. That's why. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of an holiday, or the new moon, or of the Sabbath day. Did God do away with the fourth commandment there? God forbid. How could people be so silly to think like that? Look at this verse. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink or in respect of an holiday or of a new moon, or of the Sabbath days. This is what most people use to justify the Pope's perversion of the Bible. And they bow to the authority of the Pope every week. They dishonor God every week. What does it say? What does it say? Look at the words. Colossians 2:16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holiday or of a new moon or of the Sabbath days. What does it say? Don't let anybody judge you about this. Find out what God said. Do it the way God said. And then anybody who does judge you is not judging you rightly or righteously. Don't you see that's what it says? No man can judge me. I know what God said about it. You judge me for the way I do it. And guess what? Your judgment stinks. Your judgment stinks to high heaven. I will not let you judge me about it. It's none of your business. And if you don't do it the way God said, guess what? You're wrong. Pope's going to hell. You want to follow him to hell? Go ahead. But I don't let anybody judge me about what I eat. I know what God said you ought to eat. And I know what God said you ought not eat. And I know that God said you could have poison and it won't have any effect on you if you have faith and you're in Christ doing the will of God. And I know the last word on kosher eating is anything and everything is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. But I also know if you come to my house, you ain't going to be knowing that you're eating kosher, but you'll eat kosher. I ain't going to serve you non-kosher stuff. I got too much respect for you and God. But if I come to your house and you don't know what God said about what's good to eat and what's not to eat, that's good for you. And if you got some barbecue pork chops or if you got some shrimp and you ask God to bless it, you better get yours before I dig in there and get it. But I'll tell you this. God said, don't you let anybody judge you on this. No. It's a bunch of stupid religious stuff. Don't you let anybody judge you on this stuff. Now, if you're smart, you'll learn what God said. And you'll do it the way God said. Just because God said so. But you don't let anybody judge you on this. And if you did learn the way God said that you should eat, drink, what God says is a holy day, and what God says about his Sabbaths, and what God says about the new moons, and lunar Sabbath is heresy. I'll just say it flat out. You better beware of anybody that's into the loony lunar Sabbath stuff. They're just as goofed up as the Pope is. Maybe more so. But you should do what it says in Colossians 2:16. You should not let any religious hypocrite judge you on these things. If you're smart, you'll find out how God said to do it, you'll do it God's way, and then anybody that judges you about these things, you can just tell them, look, you're a stupid religious hypocrite, and I don't let anybody judge me on this. If you knew what God said, you wouldn't be judging me in the first place. And if you do judge me on this issue, guess who's wrong? God said, let no man therefore judge you on these things. And I ain't going to let you judge me on it. Because if you do try and judge me on it, you're going to be sinning, not me. and you just prove what a religious hypocrite you are by trying to judge me on these things. Now, if you want to ask me about what's good, what God said is good and what God said is not good to eat, I'll tell you. I know what he said. If you want to ask me about, is it okay to have a glass of wine once in a while? I'll say sure. For most people, but 1 in 10 is an alcoholic. They're going to be hooked. There's certain genetic propensity to be an alcoholic with the first glass of anything. And if you really care about your fellow human beings, you're not going to partake of this stuff and possibly lead them to sin. But on your own, among your people who you know are not predisposed to be an alcoholic, you want to have a glass of wine, fine. Red wine's got a lot of good qualities, a lot of good things that are good for the body. It ain't good for me. But for most people, 9 out of 10 people, it is good for them. You want to ask me about the holidays? God's got 7 of them. They're all about Jesus. And Christmas and Easter is all about Satan. Christmas and Easter is not about Jesus, no matter how much people want to think it is. It's not about Jesus. It's an abomination to God. You want to go to church on Sunday? Fine. Worship God 24/7, no problem. But is Sunday the Sabbath? No, it's not. No, it's not. But see, all this stuff is just a shadow of things to come. God has a perfect shadow. We ought not spit on his shadow. But the shadow emanates and leads to the substance, and we embrace the substance. We don't embrace the shadow. We embrace the substance, which is Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ. Let no man therefore judge you. Don't let anybody judge you about this stuff. Because if they're judging you on these things, they're religious hypocrites. That's what they are. So just don't let them judge you on these things. That's what this word says in Colossians 2:16. 95% of those who claim to be Christians think that this verse says you ought to go to church on Sunday and not Saturday. And they're wrong. The majority, if you check it out, the majority is usually always wrong. Colossians 2:16 says, don't you let any man judge you on these things. Find out how God said these things are to be properly dealt with and understood. And do them the way God said. And don't let any man judge you on these things. Don't. And don't you judge you on these things either. Seventh-day Adventists love to be Sabbath cops. You want to be a Sabbath cop? I don't want to be a Sabbath sheriff. Now, they're right about the fourth commandment. But they sure are wrong to want to be Sabbath cops. They sure are wrong to think themselves more spiritual and non-vegetarians less spiritual. God says don't do that. And God says don't do that right here. If people understood this right, there wouldn't be all this time wasted and all this striving around over a bunch of stuff. God said, let no man judge you. Well, if God says, let no man judge you on these things, how dare you going around playing a judge and trying to be a cop on these things, trying to be a sheriff of these things? That doesn't mean you got to back off from the truth. Somebody asks you, tell them. Somebody asks you, give them the right thing. But all these things are just a shadow. It's not the substance. You embrace the substance. Sure. I can understand that. I can understand that. But you don't want to be a Sabbath sheriff, do you? That's not what it's about. You know, you're not more spiritual if you're a vegetarian, are you? Are you more spiritual if you're a vegetarian? No, you're probably weaker if you're a vegetarian. Let no man beguile you. This is what God is saying. Don't let any of these religious hucksters deceive you with this kind of religious baloney, religious foolishness of shadows and things that got nailed to the cross. Be real with God. Find out what God said. Impress God. Don't worry about impressing the people. Impress God. Be a God pleaser. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up in his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men. Follow God. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinance, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men? Find out what God said. Do it God's way, and then no man can judge you except judging you unrighteously. And don't get into the business of judging people on this stuff. They ask him what God said. Don't shy away from the truth. We're not a bunch of compromisers. We love the truth. And if they're asking sincerely, we'll sincerely give them the truth. But if they want to play with religious tinker toys, go someplace else. You're in the wrong place here. All these things are going to perish with the union after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show, and that's all it's about. It's a vain show. God is not impressed with this silly stuff. Which things indeed have a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. If ye then be risen with Christ, are you in Christ? If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on this earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Hallelujah. You don't need to worry about your saddle getting shipped home if you know where your saddle's going to be shipped. It's hard to hurt a dead man. Have you seen people take offense at almost anything you say? Makes you wonder. Hard to hurt a dead man, isn't it? For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Hallelujah. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Hallelujah. Yes, God said so. You can depend on it. It's in the brochure word. Inspired by the Holy Ghost, preserved by the Holy Ghost, and purified seven times by the Holy Ghost. You can depend on it. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Hallelujah. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Fight covetousness with every ounce of your being. Mortify, that means put to death. Kill it. Kill these inordinate affections, these wrong desires, these desires of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Put them to death. Mortify them. For which thing's sake, here's why. Here's why you want to mortify these things. For which thing's sake, the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. I don't know about you. I don't want the wrath of God. And that's what Jesus is coming back to do. He's coming back to tread out the winepress of the wrath of God Almighty. That's why it's a good idea to put these things to death. Mortify them. That means kill them. Ask God to help. He'll give you victory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Jew, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Lie not to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore the, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Forgiveness. Most godly thing any human being can do. Forgiveness. And above all these things, put on charity, genuine love, for God is love, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Yeah, even though this world's going to blow apart, you know it's going to be, it's bad today. It's going to get worse tomorrow. It's going to get real bad real fast. You just go ahead and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. To the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. There it is again. How many times do we see this? Bottom line. And be ye thankful. Do you know the will of God? This is the will of God. Even your sanctification. Do you know the will of God? Rejoice evermore. Yeah, even in the midst of this garbage. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. That's why you see it. It's always the bottom line. Be thankful. No matter what, be thankful. Be thankful. Something's wrong if you're not thankful. Something's wrong. Recognize it. It's a reality check. Are you having a hard time being thankful? Make the sacrifice of praise. God knows when it's sacrifice. Oh, yeah, he does. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, whatsoever, what's included in that? And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, yeah, it's all there, isn't it? And whatsoever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. That's how you're going to make it through. That's how you're going to make it through this war. This Antichrist war on the saints. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord's. And husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily. If you're going to do something, do it with gusto, as unto the Lord. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Like you're doing it for your king. Otherwise, don't even bother doing it. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily in his power and for his glory in the name of your king. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily. As to the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord shall you receive the reward of the inheritance. For if you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, you serve the King. And there are not jobs more or less important in his kingdom. The only thing that's important and the only thing that's worth doing is what the King said. What you know the King would have you do now. Sometimes we got duties and jobs that we don't like. They're no fun. There doesn't seem to be any glory in it. But you lay up an eternal weight of glory if you do it as unto the Lord. And no job in his kingdom is any more important than any other job. The only thing that's important, the only thing really worth doing, is what the king would have you do. And if it's clean the toilet, clean that toilet! Make it spotless. If it's clean those dishes, make sure they're clean so that if Jesus comes to have a meal, he's eating off a clean dish. Yeah, and that's no important. That's no more important than anything else. What's important is what you're doing, why you're doing it. That's what's important. It's not what you're doing, it's why you're doing it. And who you're doing it. For whose glory are you doing this? One of them, boy, see, I got a messy house. Well, then clean the thing up, but clean it up for Jesus. Don't clean it up for the other people and your stupid vanity. If that's why you're doing it, hell, go ahead and have a messy house, because otherwise you're just a hypocrite. What? Yeah. You want a little hard truth? Whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, not unto men. You ought to have a clean house. Jesus might come knocking on your door when it gets dark Friday. Yeah, you ought to have a clean house. For him! Not because the other people that come think you're a good housekeeper. You ought to have it clean for him. That's just vanity otherwise. You ought to have it clean for him. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive a reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respecter of persons. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who's a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister, son of to Barnabas, touching whom you receive commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers under the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren that are in Laodicea, Nymphis, and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul, remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's good instruction. Let no man judge you about things that are a shadow. Learn what God said. Know the right answer regarding what we should eat and what we should drink. Know the right answer on what God says is a Sabbath day and a holy day. Know what God says about the moons and stuff. Know what God says about it. Try and be a God pleaser and not a people pleaser. Don't protect your vanity so much. It's just vanity. It's going to pass away. Above all, get the real thing. Love. God is love. He must increase. I must decrease. It's hard to hurt a dead man, isn't it? Know what God said is right and do it that way. And don't worry about how anybody else would judge you. You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.